Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in with us this evening, and we've got a great show planned for you tonight. We're going to get started a little earlier tonight than usual, and let me bring in my co-host, Mr. Joshua Jackson. He's a college student. He's doing a mentorship program with me now. And I want to go ahead and bring Joshua in at this time. Joshua, welcome to the show this evening. Hope you had a great day.
How you doing, Dr. Walker? I'm doing pretty good.
Doing great. Thank you for asking. Joshua, why don't you go ahead and start out with your commercial and tell our audience what it is you do and how you do it.
I'm a communications major at Florida Memorial University, as well as the president of the marketing club. And I'm happy to be on board.
Okay, excellent. All right, Joshua, have you been hearing around town any topics that people may want to have presented over the air, or do you, in fact, have something in mind yourself that you recently thought about as a result of having listened to one of our prior shows? Have you been hearing around town any topics that people that are hot when it comes to relationships, or do you have one perhaps in mind that you would like to hear as a result of some of the previous shows you've heard over the airwaves?
So far, the only thing I could think about is the stability of a relationship, actually the truth behind all of the subliminal messages at hand, because sometimes in a relationship, as we spoke on in our previous post, that we don't communicate effectively with one another. We only have this perspective of one side of the story. And when we try to actually advertise our point of view, we only see it from one side as a listener. And this is it's basically a rebuttal every time. We're not listening to understand, we're listening to reply. So we have to get down to the root of just listening to understand, not listening to reply. So I feel like that could be a major topic for one of our listeners who want to call out and speak upon that as well.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I think that that's the human nature of things, and I think we do get it wrong when that's all we're doing is looking for a reason to respond to, as opposed to looking for the reason to try and understand. So I think that you hit the nail on the head with one blow. Because I think that that's what happens in most relationships. And you said something else that was very important. You used the word effective communications. And I think that that's paramount. I think that couples find that they think that they are communicating when, in fact, that they may be speaking out there, but they're not really having effective communication. And so unless it's effective, in my opinion, it's almost like you're just going through the motions. Because you've got to have effective communication. Effective communication will require more attentive listening and dialoguing and trying to understand and putting yourself in the other person's place. Give me your thoughts on that before we proceed.
That if we are not yes, Dr. Walker, I'm here.
No, go ahead. I can hear you now.
Oh, that like you said, you hit it on the head on the nail with the effective listening, because if we are not effective listening, we're going to be running around in circles. And I do have that problem as well, because I feel like I do no wrong. Let me throw that out there. And that's one of my flaws. So when I think about it, I have to do a self-examination, look in the mirror. Am I seeing this only from my perspective? How can we change the outlook? And once I sit down and take a minute, that a cool-out minute, that I think everybody needs to take a cool-out minute just to actually think and listen and hear. Like, we have to go back down to the listening and comprehending part so that we can sit out by ourselves, think about what each side said and what the common grounds of the situation is, and then come back like, hey, I feel like you're right about this. How about I do this different, and come up with actual suggestions to fix the problems at hand, instead of just, oh, no, you're not seeing it my way, so we're going to part ways until it blows over, then, hey, how you doing again? So it's a lot of things at hand that we have to address in the actual relationship so it can move forward before we just keep part ways, letting it blow over, then we're back at it again in the next couple of days. So the problem's not going to go anywhere, honestly.
No, I fully agree with you. It's unfortunate, and all we do is just exchange, get to the point where we start moving on to other relationships, and we find that once we get in these other relationships, we're still having some of the same issues that we had in the previous relationship, because we haven't found ways to actually nullify that by having effective communication. And until you start to actually have this effective communication, all you want to do is just go around in circle from relationship to relationship, because you haven't learned the importance and the art of mastering or even attempting to master effective communication. So it becomes serious enough that I think that if we don't do that, the divorce rate is going to be on the uprise. You're going to also find that other people will also have problems and challenges. Now, we are expecting a featured guest this evening, and this happens to be an associate of yours. Is that right, Joshua?
This is one of our guest speakers from the Marketing Club's Business Symposium, and her topic was Empowering Millennials when she came to the illustrious Florida Memorial University. Her name is Ms. Janae Tate, and she's I can let her introduce herself if she's on the air.
Yes, let's see if she's joined us this evening. Ms. Tate, are you there? Ms. Tate. Okay, she hasn't joined us as of yet. Perhaps she will be calling in momentarily. Let's hope and trust that she calls in very soon so we can go ahead with our broadcast. Perhaps we can send her a text message to remind her of the call-in information. And, of course, the number is 347-857-1769. We're certainly looking forward to what she has to present to us tonight on the air. So in the meantime, we're just going to wait a few more minutes before we proceed with the storyline for tonight's topic, and give Ms. Tate an opportunity to phone in. I think effective communication, Joshua, as you're saying, is a very viable component of that, and you seem to hit it right on point when you mention that. And so let me ask you, would you say that the younger generation is probably experienced when it comes to relationships, perhaps are going through some of the same aspects of this here, where they're not having effective communication?
Yes, sir, because like I said, firsthand, I run into these problems a lot, honestly, because we are still young, and there are things that we don't know about ourselves, future that we want to pursue to ensure that we're going to be satisfied throughout our entire life, and we come to situations that we rather just hang up the boxing gloves instead of staying in the ring or staying in the gym trying to train to effectively love each other. It's a game. Honestly, you have to keep learning the game. As the person grows, they have different features and things that they like, and as well with opportunities to advance that come along with the aging and the success rate of the person, there's a lot of adapting that is going to take place. And sometimes people are scared of adapting to change, and that's a lot of times why we get stuck in situations and we're like, wow, I've been sitting here for 25 years not doing nothing. Now I'm I want to do something, and I'm old, and then you go into the state of depression. I'm old, I'm sad, I'm ugly. See, then all these characteristics start coming into play just because you're not doing anything that is making you happy. So we have to get down to the base of what do you want? Where do you want to go? How much do you love me to go to X, Y, and Z? Are you going to love me even through poor, rich? We all say it. So if you're going to honestly advertise that love and commit to somebody, you have to be really all in, honestly.
Okay, so you're saying then that love could be more than just the action word, or it takes action to actually demonstrate your love. Is that fair to say?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. All right, that's fair enough. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes, more or less now, like the next 45 minutes. And we're going to be waiting a few more minutes for our featured guest of the evening, Ms. Janie Tate, to be joining us. She's a guest that's been invited by my co-host, Mr. Joshua Jackson. So we're going to give her just a couple more minutes before we go into the storyline. Some of the upcoming shows, as a matter of fact, we're going to be looking at the show next week, Why Can't Men and Women Simply Get Along? Once again, next week's topic will be Why Can't Men and Women Simply, we use that word simply, loosely, simply get along? And that's going to be a very interesting one because I just want to speak to that for a moment with you, Joshua, and ask the question, why is it that men and women simply can't get along? What are your thoughts on that? And it has a lot to do with what we're saying now.
Because, honestly, we have different perspectives from the gender roles, honestly. We have men have an emasculated sense of perspective when we think about things. We only see it from kind of our way sometimes. Sometimes we have to take our step back and think about it, but 9 times out of 10, we only see it from our point of view. Honestly, and sometimes women do. We both have that problem as a human. Honestly, so you're correct with the women can't battle men sometimes because it's just the point of view perspective. Honestly,
right. And I'm glad that you made it inclusive where women too have that problem because I think that it's a gender thing. It's men experience that and women do too. And you know, I'm finding that there's not a whole lot out there that are so extreme that a man may do that a woman, you at one point in time you may think that they don't do, but there's not a whole lot big difference in the things that men and women do. And I think times have changed. It used to be a time that you wouldn't find women doing certain things, but and that may come to the thought of women were more discreet at certain things that they did. But nevertheless, it doesn't mean that they're not doing some of these things. And I think that that's what, you know, and now it's becoming to full circle. You're finding that women are finding themselves getting caught up into some of these same things that men over the years have been accused of doing. Women are now doing those. So that's one of the things that we need to look at. You know, why is it that men and women simply can't get along? Why can't they get along? You know, we talk differently. You know, we perceive things differently. We communicate differently. And until we learn to actually begin to find a way to understand and try at understanding each other, and that's a skill. That takes a lot of, just like with most skills, It takes time to master or to learn these skills. So unless you actually, and you mentioned earlier, until people are ready to put in that time, until they're actually ready to put in that time, then there's a good likelihood that these people are just not going to, they're not going to get it. They run out of patience in the attempt to actually put the time in, and then they just move on to the next victim. And that's what it becomes, another victim. And everybody, a victim with another victim. And it's just two victims together. And it's just a matter of time before those victims move on to another victim because they failed to put in the time. So give me your thoughts, Joshua, just before we go in.
Um, that,
I feel like you're completely right about it. You took all the words out of my mouth on this one. You really hit the hammer on the nail with that one. You successfully did that one. I like how you did that one. You worded it correctly.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And we're about ready to go right to tonight's topic. And tonight we're going to be talking, asking the question. You know, tonight we're actually asking this question, and it's a very genuine question, I think. We're asking the question, are women dominating the responsible role as a breadwinner in the home? Are women dominating the responsible role as the breadwinner in the home? You know, when I think about that, just before we go into the storyline, I'm thinking that, what is the dominant role? Are there roles, first of all, in the home? Should there be roles? Joshua, what do you think? Should there be roles that men play and women play? You know, once a time, you know, where the men take out the garbage. The woman do this, the man does that. I mean, what about these things? What do you think about that? Should there be these roles now?
Well, honestly, I believe that in a relationship and a home, there is a role that each person should play, but the roles can vary, honestly. And before modern times now that we have evolved into, women had a role of the household dominance as far as the cooking, the cleaning, and just the structure upkeeping of the house. And the man was the breadwinner. But now that we have some broken homes, we have stronger women now who are used to not only just keeping up a home, but actually paying the bills for that house as well. So she has entitlement now. So it's not saying that there's a problem with that, but that those are the roles now that women are stepping into because of the change in the actual relationship values, honestly, because people are not valuing relationships anymore, honestly. So we have a lot of broken homes. That's sad to say. So women are more dominant. Well, not are more dominant, but are becoming more dominant because they have a harder role in life because they're already getting shorted on pay because women are paid less than men, and that's a fact. And as well as sexualizing, when women wear certain clothes, they're viewed differently. Oh, her shirt's too low. So it's a lot of things that go along with a woman just being a woman, especially in the working society. So I feel as if it is a little harder out there for her.
Okay, and I think that you touched on a very interesting point, that the dynamics of the relationships is just, I mean, like severed because people are not putting in the quality time. Then technology certainly doesn't help it at all. We're going to actually stand by, Joshua. Let me just go to the phone line before we go to the storyline. 917-399, welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us this evening. Angela, did you have a comment or a thought before we go to the storyline?
No, I just want to say that I agree with what your co-host is saying with the role of the woman. I don't think she's the dominant in the family, but I just think that she has picked up more because the husband is working longer hours in some cases.
Okay, all right. We're going to stand by that the husband has picked up more hours. But it's not just dominating in the role in the home, but she's also the breadwinner now. She's taken over seemingly like the breadwinner. And this, for reasons unbeknownst to some people, is causing problems in some marriages. And let's go into the storyline tonight. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, are women dominating the responsible role of the breadwinner in the home? Bertha and Carl. Several years ago, throughout their marriage, Carl and Bertha demonstrated numerous acts of love and romance. They have been married for 8 years and now facing difficulty as a couple since Carl was recently released from his management position, making over $60,000 a year. Now, Bertha, on the other hand, managed to work for years part-time while completing her studies in a nursing program. Now, fortunately for Carl and Bertha, she has landed a job as a registered nurse in her field and recently received a promotion to supervisor. Her salary now is just over $80,000 annually. She is still the same person in the home and tries her best to show Carl a great deal of love and respect since he has gone back into the workforce earning just under $45,000 a year. Now, this has a serious impact on his ego because his wife's salary nearly doubles his. This is what is causing problems in their marriage. Counseling has not helped this couple at all. They have three young children, and Carl has started drinking and hanging out late, actually later than usual, with his friends. This is quite disturbing to Bertha, who happens to manage not only the affairs of the children, but other matters around the house, including the finances that Carl once agreed to handle. He, in fact, has become very slack in his duties at home, leaving most, if not all, the financial burdens in the home and other matters to Bertha. Bertha is frustrated at this point with him and seeks desperate help to either get their marriage back on track or move on with her small children. Question is that we start out with tonight, and I present this first to my co-host, Joshua, tonight. Joshua, do you think that there is hope for this marriage, honestly?
Honestly, Dr. Walker, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer or the negative person of the show, but his ego is done. The way the story sounded, he's disappointed, honestly. The only way he could feel as if he can step back in the house and feel some sense of pride is if he makes more money, honestly. She's taking care of him, in a sense. Not for me to judge anybody, but somebody's out there in his ear who's saying the same thing I'm saying right now. She's taking care of you, and some people are going to root you on for that, and some people are going to look down upon. It just depends on what type of crowd you're with, honestly. So I would feel some type of way, honestly, me being a man, and the ego I have inside of my chest, so I kind of understand where he's coming from. So it's a tough and counseling's not working either. So that's
no.
I don't know. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer.
I know. Angela, what do you think?
I think it depends on how the wife is acting once she got that extra income. And depending on what her role is as far as the husband. Now, I do think that his ego is getting in the way, and he should be happy because that's more money in the household to help out with the family. Now, men have always been the dominant male in the family, where most women just stayed home, took care of their family, and didn't work at all. I look at it, being married for so long, that all the money that we get, it helps. It helps, but it depends on how the woman is displaying this new income. If she's showboating, she's not sharing it, then I can see why his ego is getting the best of him, because now she's flaunting it in his face. But I think that he should not slack off just because of money.
Okay, well, that's an interesting perspective. So you do agree then that ego sometimes can get in the way?
Well, egos always get in the way, because the male perception is that he should have more money than the female.
Okay. All right. Well, let me go back to Joshua just for a second. Joshua, do you think that since counseling hasn't helped, if Carl were to come to you, let's say since he's out drinking and just so happened that you all met up at a place, a location, doesn't have to be a bar, but it could be at a social club, and he's presenting to you that, man, my wife, you know, I lost my job making over 50 grand, and my wife has been in school, and now her salary nearly doubles mine. And it's really affected me. What are some questions that you may ask him to help him come to some terms with dealing with this situation?
Oh, man. thank you for being happy with that one. I feel like I would have to tell him personally. If you were with her before, when you were the dominant one, and she's still with you, she's just picking up
she's having your back. She's picking up your slack. You have to get it together. You have to get down, sharpen up your skills to get you to the next level, honestly, so you guys can be on the same playing field. That way you can feel not as less of a man. You feel more equal, and which will make you still go harder. But you, not to say it's a competition, but if that's what makes him feel better, he has to sharpen up on his skills. He needs to pick up a book in whatever field he's in and just sharpen up on his tools to where he can become more efficient to get paid a little higher salary, or whoever knows. But it's not a bad situation, honestly, because that's the point of having a spouse. Who wouldn't want to have a spouse who I know is making more than me in case I fall on my face? I don't see it as a problem. We are forced to be reckoned with in my eyes, honestly, because if not me, then she.
Mm-hmm. You're still the team. Angela, wouldn't you say that you're still that team? And as long as you're that team, that's basically how it should be?
Yes. It's always been teamwork, but then you have selfish individuals in the relationship that come up with their own reason of what teamwork is. And men, well, I'm just going to speak on my husband. His excuse for not doing things around the house more is because, well, I can't multitask like you. I don't know how to cook, or, you know, I can only do one thing at a time. You know, he'll spend 4 hours folding his clothes,
yeah,
and cleaning his side of the room. But I'll sit here and watch,
yeah,
literally watch him doing that while he's watching TV, and I'm like, man, pick up your pace. Like, I done went, cooked breakfast, cleaned the kitchen, cleaned the living room, started the bathroom, and you still folding up your clothes. Like, I just think some people in a relationship, man and woman, are lazy, and they have gotten accustomed to the other person picking up the pieces and doing more. So they tend to lack, even though they say they're not lacking. Or they come up with the excuses, I can't do it as well as you. Okay,
mm-hmm,
cut the TV off then. Maybe that'll help you pick up the pace. But I love what your cohort said. Everything he said is true. Why can't he be happy for his wife? If she's still doing the same thing she was doing before, she's still being the same person, being nice to him, why is there a problem now that she's making more money? And he can better himself. Why don't he say, hey, can you spend some of this new money so I can take some classes and better myself now so I can get a raise or possibly find a job that makes more money? Most men don't do that.
All right, and that's an interesting point. I want to respond to some of that, but let me just first go ahead and let's bring in another call, 786-590. Are you there on the air live? 786-590, okay, perhaps. Let's go on. Let's continue this here. Angela, I want to think that for the most part, people generally, and I think we said it earlier, because of egos, I think that we have people who will basically just not want to deal with certain situations. Instead, like in the case with Carl, he's finding his resolution in having a drink or hanging out with friends. Joshua, let's get your thought on why is that not the solution? Why is that not the solution?
Well, going to drinking, you really go into a depression state in which you can make bad decisions and impulses that you will regret later on when that momentary happiness of the alcohol, which we spoke of before in our previous topics, that momentary,
uh-huh,
that momentary happiness. And we make a lot of bad decisions that we don't think about the consequences in the whole of what is really going to happen to us in the near future, or we might feel as if we can get away with it. But it'll still be on our subconscious to make other decisions for the worse. So honestly, when we make a decision about relationships, I know the bottle of or the glass of wine is the go-to, but honestly, you have to take a clear head to the situation, because if not, you're not going to find the honest answer. Even if you have the bottle of wine, just wait till the next day to think about it with a clear head before you just rush back into the to the conversation. And honestly, that's our problem. We feel like we have to listen to respond. We can listen, take a break, take it in, come back calm, cool, and collected with our point of views and our objectives of what we want to get across, and the conversation could go smoother or it could get worse. But then you can say, I tried. I made my full optimist try because I took my time. I stepped back. I let you do you, and this is where I'm at with the situation.
Well, I think that's I think you're right on point when it comes to that. Angela, let's bring you in just for a second. Do you think that call, here it is, a call, and his wife, Bertha, are having this situation. Do you think that this is going to have an impact on the children with him being out there late like this? And if so, what impact, if any, would it have on them?
Number one, he's not present in the home. He's not taking the time out to, yes, it will have an impact on the children. And the impact is that he doesn't have any involvement with his own kids as far as doing recreation things, just spending time with them, maybe possibly going over homework with them. Just them visibly seeing him and being around him and, you know, just having dad time. I even see the same thing with my husband because of, you know, he can start off with one drink and then it'll lead up to him having a cigarette with it. And then he'll be sitting in the window for almost a whole hour and the kids will come back and forth. Mommy, can I have this? Mommy, can we go do that? And I'm like, go ask your father. He's right. You're in the same room with him. And then he'll come in the back. Now he's too toasty or drunk to take them and go do something with them. And then it reverts back to, well, I don't have the money. How am I going to do X, Y, and Z? And I'll say, well, for one, I have money, and you could have asked me. And it's like it's hurting his feelings to come and ask me for my debit card to go and do something with our children. Well, I don't feel comfortable with asking you for any money. I should be able to handle that, or I should have it myself. But you're paying majority of the bills. So I understand how you feel, but get over that. Like, we've been in a marriage for a long time, and no matter how many times I say that, Dr. Walker, it still reverts back to that original conversation where I don't want to take money from you because I know you try hard to save whatever you got, and I should be doing the same thing. It's just excuses, you know? It boils down to excuses.
And why do you think he's using these excuses? I mean, what do you think?
I think that he doesn't know how to be a dad, pretty much. He has problems with his dad not being in his life and how his mom, he watched his mom struggle and take care of them, work two jobs and struggle and take care of them. She was also sickly with high blood pressure. And so she ended up being a dialysis patient. So she lost her job and ended up becoming disabled. And so a lot of that played an effect on him, you know, in his teenager days. And then when he was able to go out into the world and went into the military, he took care of himself. But then he also had three kids, you know, when he was, I think, 16 years old, his first son, and then 18, the second one, and by 21, the third. So he's always been doing for his older kids by sending money. And he did do things with them when he came home. But I think that once I came in his life, I taught him how to be a responsible dad. You know, no, you can't sit around and think that that's all you have to offer to your kids. Take them for a walk in the park. You don't need money to entertain kids because kids, they value time with their parents more than money. And then you can teach them that this time that you have together and the things you're doing is more valuable than money, you know? I started suggesting like $2 movie Tuesday. If you can't spend $13 on regular days, then take them on the cheap days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Getting them involved in different stuff and teaching him different things that he can do to get involved with his kids. And once he saw that how I was doing it, here come the excuses again. You women, y'all always know how to do things. you good at researching stuff. Well, you have a computer in your hand, the phone, just like I do. I Google for all the free stuff when the zoo is free, when the museums is free. What's your excuse? Like, stop coming up with excuses, and that's what I see as the number one problem in families is men come up with excuses why they can't find things to do with their kids. Some men, I'm not going to say all.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Let's take another, let's look at some of the comments that are coming in to the studio in reference to tonight's topic. Are the women taking a responsible role as a breadwinner in the home? Let's see what some of our people who elect to comment as opposed to call in. Let's take this male. He writes in, he says, without a doubt, women are dominating the responsible role of the breadwinner in the home. It appears that women are now making more money than men in the home. I think it has to do with the fact that women are more willing to make greater sacrifices in preparation when it comes to becoming qualified for promotion. Just like the registered nurse in the Tonight story did. All right, Joshua, let's give you that first one. What do you think? Is this guy on point? Women are willing to wait for sacrifices?
Yes, sir. He's completely right. Because no, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, in preparation. Are women willing to make the sacrifices in preparing themselves to become qualified for the promotion?
Yes, sir, they do. They make sure that they're well prepared. Sometimes men, we feel as if we are entitled to things like promotions and things like that because we work the hardest and things like that, but we don't make sure that we're all-around equipped for the position. We may do it the best and effectively, but we are not qualified to have the resources or sometimes the knowledge because those degrees do play a part in advancements. So sometimes women are more qualified than a men as far as a resume or quality of work. So it just depends on the subject at hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, Angela, let me shift over to you just for a second. If that's the case that the women are willing to make the sacrifices, comparing apples to apples, then would you say that men may have a problem working for a woman as a supervisor?
I think men always have a problem working for women in general because they have this model where they think that women don't understand men because they're not a man, you know? So, mm-hmm. And I can relate to that. And I try not to really, I try to listen to my husband more than tell him how a man should be because then he'll come back and say stuff like, well, Angie, you're not a man, so you can't help me in that situation when it comes to manly things.
Okay.
Hold on, Dr. Walker.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you hear me? Hello, Angie? All right, Joshua, are you there? Joshua?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, all right. Let's, Angie, perhaps she faded out. Perhaps she'll call back in.
I'm Angie back, Dr. Walker.
Okay, all right. Yes. Go ahead.
Right. So that's what my husband normally say. A woman can't raise a man because there are things that men can tell their young sons that women just cannot relate to, and I understand that, and vice versa with girls. But then, you know, raising my three girls, I think it's more like we can discuss things with them, but sometimes I'll say, sit down and talk to your dad because he's in the medical field. So anything health-wise when it comes to females, like he makes sure I have all the necessary books about the female body, the female hygiene, things I didn't even know that he schooled me on that I didn't know, just about myself, about being a woman. And I would send my daughters there, and he was like, why do you keep sending them up here to ask me these questions? I think he was more embarrassed answering them than actually talking to them about stuff. I said, well, we're both their parents. If something happened to me, I die tomorrow, who's going to talk to them about these things? You're going to get another woman? No, I think that you're well qualified to discuss certain things with our daughters, even though you're a man, just like I think women are qualified to say certain things to their sons, even though we don't want to take on that role because that male figure is there to have those talks. But I found that my son would come to me and ask me stuff that he wouldn't even ask his father about, related to sexual stuff, disease. And I'm the type of parent, like, I keep it 100 with my kids. And the way I say it, they be looking at me like, Mom, you had to say it like that. You couldn't find a better way. No, I want you to know the uncut, raw way of getting this education, because I don't want someone else in the streets teaching my kids things. So, I just think that we come up with excuses and why we can't do certain things because we have the stigma over us that it need to come from the man or it need to come from the woman. That's all I'm saying, Dr. Walker.
All right, let's take another comment. Let's go here and get one of our other comments that have come in also to the studio. And that question is, and Angie, we'll start out with you on this one. This female says, I can clearly see this happening, that the women are dominating as breadwinners in the home, because I don't see an equal amount of men in college as I see women. I think women are becoming more independent by depending less on a man to take care of them. Andrew, is there any validity to that? I mean, are women really becoming, you know, less dependent on a man?
Dr. Walker, I don't have a college education, but I believe in knowing things and finding out things. So I try to read up as much as possible about just things in general. You know, if I want to do my nails, I don't go to the nail salon and get it done. I pick up a book or Google stuff. I learn how to file my own nails, clip them, polish them the same way these people do it in these nail salons. That's what I do. Same thing about my hair. I do not waste money on getting my hair done. I do it myself. And I budget on the products that I buy. Why? Because it's a skill that I teach myself and I want to teach my kids so they don't have to give their money to these places, even though my kids still want to spend money getting a mani pedi, going to get their, you know, washing set. But they need to have some type of skills. I can't really answer that question about why men don't do it, because – you know, I've told my husband plenty of times, why don't you go back and get your doctorate degree? And he's like, I'm too old. I'm like, no one's never too old. There's people who get their high school diploma at 70 years old, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but it'd be vice versa with the both of us telling each other, you know, that we should go back to school. I always find that I give great information, and sometimes I don't take my own, but I'm always good at giving other people good information about, you know, continuing their education. And, you know, and if you can't afford to do it, you shouldn't have, don't limit yourself. Go to the library, go to the bookstore, sit in there and read those books. Take about an hour or two and stay in the bookstore and read up what you need to read up if you can't afford to buy it. I just think that people get complacent. They come up with excuses, because I know I've came up with plenty of them, to keep from, I guess it's fear, you know, being scared and out of fear. We don't want to advance ourselves. And that's man and woman.
All right. All right. That's an interesting point. Joshua, did you want to comment? Let's bring you in and get your comments on what Angie has said this evening.
Angie, I completely agree with you on that fact that we are sometimes scared to advance ourselves, because I find myself sometimes procrastinating, and that's the first key of that you can notice that you're slowing yourself down in advancement with procrastination, because if you're procrastinating, you're not doing anything productive. And honestly, once we stop doing things productive for ourselves, we become stagnant, and that's a thing that us as the Black community has. We give up on ourselves, and we say we love ourselves by buying all this high designer things and buying nice cars and stuff, but we don't honestly love ourselves. We're trying to prove to other people we love ourselves. If we loved ourselves, we would want the best in all aspects. honestly. So, and that's mental health, physical, everything. Why do we have so many obese people in our community, huh? Well, that's another thing we have to touch on. We don't really love ourselves. We're overeating. We're not exercising. It's a lot of factors that go into being a healthy, happy person at the end of the day. So that's one of our major setbacks in our advancement as a whole, just not one individual.
Dr. Okay. Walker, I totally agree with him on all that.
Yeah, and I
can I respond
too.
To that?
Yes, go ahead.
I've had people, like, personally, I buy my kids skates, scooters, jump ropes. When we out in the park, I don't see other people's kids with these things. And they're always like, Miss, can I play with your daughter thing? Can I ride her bike? And I don't mind them doing it, but then I find that my daughter's stuff gets worn and tore up quicker than an average person's stuff would. So I had to limit certain things that other people, kids, could borrow from my child. Why? Because we do, as Black, I didn't want to bring up the race thing because I said I was going to stop using race as an excuse because that's another excuse. It's not just in the Black race. It's in the Latino race and in the white race where we don't better ourselves, but we'll sit and keep pointing the finger at another race of people and say, oh, they're getting more than us. Oh, they're getting ahead of us. No, we don't buckle down and put the effort in to advance ourselves. I've always been a person where I love seeing my kids enjoy their time outside. I even invested in bikes. My kids and I, we ride throughout the city. We go to different parks. I'll pack my daughter bike up and take her to a park we've never been to and just let her play soccer ball, football, whatever kind of ball she wants. I invest in that stuff because I want my child to have fun. I brought other people's kids along, and their kids didn't have stuff. And finally, parents was like, well, why do you always spend money on stuff like that? Well, I don't expect someone else to do it for me. You know what I'm saying? Meanwhile, my child having a good time, and your child is over there with Nuck, watching my child have a good time. So, I mean, I also came up with concepts of, like, the movie thing. My husband would say, well, I don't have money, so when I have a little extra money, I'll go buy one of those little prepaid cards or go to the movie theater and buy tickets when I do have money so they can have the passes later down the line. Mom, can we go to the movies? Get the passes out the drawer. You know what I'm saying? Well, how are we going to get there? Well, the movie theater isn't that far. It's summertime. There's no reason why you can't walk up there and walk back. Well, we don't have no money for popcorn. You know what? You better go get a quarter, 50-cent bag of popcorn, maybe a candy bar, juice, put it in your pocket and go on in the theater because I don't have money. I may have the money for the movies, but I may not have the money to buy the food that's inside the theater because it's expensive. You know what I'm saying? I get really creative, and I think that my husband, that's what he loves about me, just watching me. But I'm like, well, you should have picked up some of this stuff already. He still calls me just to go to New Jersey for direction. I'm like, man, we did this like 100 times. Why are you calling me? You have your phone. Google it. But then it really upsets me that he does that. And I'm like, we've been out here like about times. And you still don't know how to get there because I'm always the one that's driving to and from.
Right.
And then his excuse is, well, you better at this. Well, make yourself better at it, you know? Write the directions. Google them before you leave.
Well, it's good that you're there for him to be able to get that information from you, even though you're frustrated with it. Let's hold on just a second. We got about eight to nine minutes before we start to close the show out. We're unfortunate, Ms. Janie Tate, maybe some extenuating circumstances came up that she wasn't able to be on tonight's show. But what we will do is we'll reschedule with her for the future. Let's take this next comment. Joshua, why don't you take a shot at this one? This female writes in, she says, are women dominating the responsible role of the breadwinner in the home? I think it makes men move. She says, I think it makes men move to the side when women generally display attitudes because they make more money than men. When that happens, men give up in trying harder. That's my opinion. Do you think that, I mean, it seems almost irrelevant, but It sounds like, here again, the situation with Carl and Bertha could be an ego thing, and he's given up, so he's resorted to hanging out with his friends and drinking. Joshua, give us your take on this comment.
I do see that happening when guys feel as if the woman is advancing and they are just in the way sometimes, and that is an ego destroyer. Honestly, we have to keep it honest with ourselves before we even speak on certain subjects, because in the male's case, if my woman is making more than me, yeah, I'm going to be supportive, but to a certain extent, I'm going to go inside my shell of, wow, what are you producing? What are you doing? Why are you, what are you doing? Like, basically, like, who am I? Aren't I supposed to be the man? Isn't she supposed to be loving me? I'm supposed to be buying her whatever she wants and making sure my kids get the perfect Christmas. Not saying that that's not her role as well, but you want to do that as a man. You want to be the breadwinner. You want your woman to look at you like that king, that I can do everything for you. So it's that pride. It's really, it's ego, pride, and it's just culture standard for the American, over here in America, for the man, and I think anywhere, for us to feel as we need to be the dominators of everything, honestly.
Okay. Andrew, do you think that you could accept the fact that if your man didn't work at all, could you accept the fact, recognizing that he's got this ego, he's going through an ego, he's ego tripping, and he says, well, you seem to be making all the money and everything else, so why don't I just give up? Like the comment mentioned, that a lot of men move to the side, they just give up.
My husband have never said he would give up, but he has said if I get a higher position that he's taking a break and going part-time, and he wants to take on the role of being home and with the kids more because he missed out on a lot of that. And I told him, go ahead, shoot. It's all in your ball court. I would love to see him take on that role because I know, I think I'd tell him yes because I want to see him kind of fail a little bit so I can laugh a little bit, chuckle at it, because I know that he cannot live up to my standards. And not that I'm, it's more in a joking way. I don't never want to see my husband as a failure, but I know that I do way much more than he does. I know that I dominate in the relationship other than when it comes to finances. So, by all means, take on that role, but don't slack off either, because I'm going to start doing the same, making the same comments that he was making. How come you didn't cook dinner? How come you didn't get to finish cleaning this up? You know, and it's probably going to mess with his ego even more, because I'm like, well, when I was making less, working less hours, these are the things you were saying when you had to come home and, well, why I got to do laundry, why I got to wash dishes. Well, now the roles done turned, so now you should see how it feels when one person is picking up majority of the slack, when we really should be sharing the slack.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Excellent. Josh, do you want to chime in on that before we move on to the next couple of comments that we'll only have time for?
I agree with Angela, honestly, because we do feel as if when we don't want to hear the insults of our spouse when one is doing better than the other. So I really feel, I agree with Angela on that part right there.
Okay, let's take this other comment. Angela, this female writes in, she says, women are dominating because it could be due to the role that women are nurturers, having to look out for the children, even when the man has gone in a different direction. She's saying women are nurturers, so it's almost like she's saying it comes natural.
It does for the majority of us, and then you have these moms out here who haven't a clue in how to nurture their kids. They're out there partying. They're making more money now. They're not at home. They're leaving them babies on them daddies, you know, pretty much throwing them on their fathers. And a lot of men are taking on that female role where they're taking care of their kids. They're cooking dinner. They're cleaning. They're doing the laundry. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Now, why we can't all come together and make it work as one unit? Because I had to say that a lot of times to my husband up until he broke his ankle, and that's when he realized because he had to slow down. He couldn't do nothing. And then his finances was limited also based on disability and not what he worked, not what he was bringing home when he was working. So the roles kind of did change for him, and it actually opened his eyes to see how much it took to run the household and work, because his number one excuse was, I stand on my feet all day in the OR, and I don't want to do nothing when I come home. My feet are hurting. And he said, you know, it's easy for you to sit here and say, do this and do that, because you sit down all day. I'm like, but I'm still asking from the house, you know, 8 hours, 9 hours. Now, I still come home, I still cook, I still clean up, still do manage to do laundry, manage to still help with homework, get everybody ready for bed, and then here you come when all the chores and stuff is done and over with, and you're talking about your feet hurt and you can't do nothing. So,
well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's take this last minute. Huh?
No, I said it's a lot. It is a lot on a woman's plate.
I can imagine. I mean, I can hear what you're saying, and I believe you when it comes to that. Let's take this final comment, and Josh, we're going to give you that one and perhaps ask both of you all to comment on it. This female, she says, over the years, women have taken a closer look at their mothers and realized their mothers depended more on the man, who in turn controls her. Women today are not with that program. They are equally qualified to take care of themselves. Joshua, that sounds very interesting and challenging right there. That their mothers, they come to their mothers and say, he's not going to control me.
Yeah. And actually that is taking place right now, because we do have a lot of young women who are telling guys, actually, when they're about to start dating, what their goals and ambitions are. So I feel as if that's an interesting thing, because you have a plan, and most guys have this objective of, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to be my girl, X, Y, Z, I'm doing this, that, and the third, hop on board. But now it's coming into the play of, hey, no, I got X, Y, and Z going on with me, so either you're going to hop on board or we're going to try to make some mutual agreement, which isn't going to work in the long term, and we just part ways. But that's really what we're moving forward to, that women are leveling up, honestly, in the workforce. So now they have more priorities than just being, or have a bigger dream of just being a housewife. Now they have the world is opened up to them, honestly. So now they can get those CEO positions, or that high secretary position, or start their own business or anything. I'm not going to label anybody to a certain position, but that's really what we are coming to in this new era of 2020, and I mean the 2000s and 2020 coming, that women are going to succeed. They're going to defeat the odds of just, hey, you go cook my food and wash my clothes. They're not entering into that, and they're not going to allow it either for much longer, unless you're going to be the super alpha male that they want, because they have dreams and they have goals that they want as well.
Well, I mean, you can't too much blame them. And then Andrew's going to bring you in a second. You can't too much blame them, because, I mean, who wants that role? That's almost like a subservient role instead of the role of equality. So, Andrew, let's bring you in. I mean, what are your thoughts? Women, by them taking that stand, isn't it necessary?
I applaud women who's stepping up the pace, who's taking the lead. Actually, I find that men today are more jealous of those women who are taking the lead, and they will blame the woman for the downfall of, well, I'm going to say black men are blaming black women for doing exactly that, saying that I'm not putting up with this anymore. I don't want a man. And how my dad and my relationship was when my mom stayed at home and she raised us. And then my dad went out and worked, but yet dad went out and worked, didn't bring home all the paycheck either. He still was drinking or drugging, and the family suffered because of dad's mistake. And the woman watched all that and said, before I let him take us down, I'm going to build myself up and be the better person so that our family don't suffer. Because once again, I see a lot of men, their egos allow them to stay stuck in their ways. And then they'll turn around and blame the black woman. Oh, she wants to be like the white person. She wants everything the white man throws at her. She wants to be like the white woman having a CEO position. You know what? Shut up. You're just lame. You mad. You could do the same thing that black woman is doing. And most of these men are the ones who's not going to school. They staying in these jobs for, like, switching up jobs every 10, 15 years. And yet they never thought that they would have to re-educate themselves to keep up with the world, in other words. And so they're mad at the black woman for taking those opportunities and going out there and doing it. Now, I do see some black women who, the ones that's on welfare, that don't want to work and they just rather get a check. But I'm not speaking about those women. I'm talking about real women that's getting out here making things happen.
Okay. Now, we're just about out of time. And actually, we are out of time, but I want to go ahead and give Joshua the final word. Joshua, just a quick note. What, if anything, would you tell Bertha at this point, who's frustrated with Carl because he just, you know, he's ego-tripping. And here it is. She has taken on that dominant role in the home as a breadwinner, and she's managing everything else. But she's frustrated, and she's thinking about moving on. What, if anything, would you tell her as a final thought this evening?
Well, I would tell Bertha, since she is married and this is still her husband, just take her mind back to the place where she was when she first met this man. Yes, he's not the same man because now he's a hurt man right now, not to be funny or to make jokes of the situation, but he's really hurt pride-wise, and that's really when you break a man's pride, that's his emotional and physical, because now he's just in a funk. He's drinking. He's probably not keeping up to the best of hygiene. He's depressed. So that, and when a man becomes in a funk, he's like a snail. He moves slow. It's just a bad feeling. So just take it back to the man you first met when he was up, energized, making you smile, keeping you happy. Try to think of that person and try to make way to see the good in him, and not to say, because you can't flaunt around money, because that's kind of hard when you're in a relationship and bills need to be paid and things need to get done. So it just comes to the point of, this is where I'm at. This is where these are my children's father. I'm going to stick this out. I'm going to work this out. We're going to do something to get to the next level, honestly, because right now she's going to keep having to go to work and keep making money, but she needs to get him to understand, hey, you got to help in. You need to contribute. You need to step up. I can't keep doing this all by myself. This is a two-way thing. I had your children, and I'm now making money to keep us all together and happy and well-fed. Where's your part? Because it's a teamwork. It's a relationship. It got to be two people doing for each other, not one doing for the other, and the other keeps all their money and does whatever they want to and things like that. No, it's not like that. You really have to make contributions. Go half with each other. Whatever makes each other feel good about the income, but just get down to the root that it is a problem. It is a problem. We can't act like it's not. So that's just my suggestion to her.
Right. And in addition to what has been said tonight, I just want to give a closing thought. And that basically is, I think the points that Andrew and Joshua have presented over tonight's broadcast have been outstanding. And it seems that we've all been on pretty much the same page. I would just like to even go a step further and particularly say that when one spouse is hurting, the marriage is hurting. When one relationship, significant other, is hurting, the relationship is hurting. Because it takes two. And you're not in the relationship by yourself. And if you're operating in that relationship thinking that you're doing it by yourself, you're fooling yourself, and then thus begins the struggle, the continued struggle. So in this case where Carl is out here and he's looking for an outlet, thinking that it's in the drinking or his friends, he's abandoning his responsibility. And in doing so, or by doing so, he's hurting his family, not only his wife, his children as well. And so until he comes to grips with himself, to realize that, you know what, this is not the answer. And until Bertha actually, because his problem is her problem, just as her problem is his problem. And so no longer, for example, no longer can people say, listen, oh, it's the wife that's pregnant. No, if she's pregnant, we're pregnant. You know, because he may not be carrying, he's not carrying the child, of course. But nevertheless, he's going to go through even some of the morning sicknesses that that woman has. She's going to go through, he needs to be there as that extended support. And this is the point that I really want to make tonight to my listening audience, that whatever it is that Carl is dealing with, whatever he's dealing with, I think Bertha has a duty, as a duty as a spouse, to get to the core of what's her. No, you can't get inside of a person. You can't, you know, you can't force them to do anything. But what you can do, which is what I think Bertha needs to do, she needs to dig deep as she possibly can, you know, retract when she can. When I say retract, don't force it when he doesn't want to talk. But give him the time, but let him know without a shadow of a doubt that you're in his corner. You know, send him a note, send him a text, write him a letter, give him a card to show that you're supporting him. And let him know, I am not giving up on you. I'm going to give this everything that I can, because we are, just as Joshua said tonight, we are in this together. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes, because just as Joshua said, it's a marriage. I'm going to do whatever it takes to help my husband, because we are helpmeets for each other. We'll help me for each other. I'm the breadwinner, but listen, let me get him involved where he's also managing the money to feed his ego, because that's what it comes down to, helping him by feeding his ego. It may sound harsh, and it may sound unfair, it may sound unjust, but I tell you what, when she does that, it is my opinion, and there's no guarantee on anything in life when it comes to relationships, but I can assure you of this, when she does that, shows that she is there for his, she's his number one fan, she's his cheerleader, it is harder for that man to want to leave a woman like that. And ultimately, I believe, and maybe I'm just a little naive, but eventually that man will come around. All right, we're out of time. I want to go ahead and thank my co-host, Joshua Jackson, and we'll also thank Angela Dupree for being on with us this evening. Thank you all so very much. Thank you the rest of you all for listening in tonight. And thank those of you all that sent in your comments. Tune in this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, you choose to bypass this Friday. Join us back here live again next Tuesday when our topic will be, why can't men and women simply get along? You don't want to miss this one. Our featured guest will be Miss Joanne Welch. You don't want to miss that one. So tune in either this Friday or until next Tuesday. I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. So, yeah.